Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you're listening today. And if you ever have wrestled with insecurity, you've really decided to tune in on a very important day. And if you say that you haven't, you've really tuned in on a very important day, because we all battle measures of insecurity and inferiority at times. And you know what, though? God makes no mistakes. He does everything on purpose. He gave you specific parents, specific talents, and even a specific calling in life, because you know what? He knows the plans that he has for you. That's what he says. He knows what you need, and he intends to write an amazing story with your life if you'll cooperate with him, if you'll trust his promises and trust even his opinion of you. You know, so often we are the ones who diminish our sense of worth because we don't choose to believe the beautiful truth about ourselves. Well, my guest today challenges us to embrace the way God has wired us and to overcome that sense of insecurity that so often plagues us. Cheryl Martin joins me in studio today. The title of her book is Distinctly You, Trading Comparison and Competition for Freedom and Fulfillment. I want you to know that both Cheryl and I will be speaking at the Set Apart Conference that takes place this Friday and Saturday, along with our good friends Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley and Jenny Allen. Tomorrow, Greg and Aaron Smalley will be in studio. We'll have a live studio audience. We're going to have a good time tomorrow as well, ramping up for the Set Apart Conference. It's not too late to get a ticket and join us. You can come one day or both days, this Friday and Saturday. If you want more information on the conference, you can go to the website setapartconference.com. Okay, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Cheryl Martin devotes her time to writing, speaking, freelance media opportunities, and hosting the weekly radio broadcast Excellent Living. Cheryl served on the boards of World Vision, ECFA, and Wycliffe Bible Translators. She's the author of two books, Distinctly You, Trading Comparison and Competition for Freedom and Fulfillment, which we're talking about today, and First Class Single, Rules for Dating and Waiting God's Way. Love that. Her influencer page is on our website at myfaithradio.com. Dear Cheryl, nice to meet you and welcome to the studio.
It is great to meet you and to be with you today.
I wish you could see her face because she's stunning and beautiful, and she's got great content in her book, but I can't stop staring at you.
Oh, thank you.
So we always love to start out talking scripture, and you chose Acts 20, verse 24, but my life is worth nothing unless I use it for doing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. Talk about why you chose that passage.
It's critical that we understand why God made us and his purpose for us. And Apostle Paul was very, very focused. And when he accepted Christ, his attitude was, nothing else matters anymore. I've had the positions, I have the intellect, I have the education. But the most important thing is for me to do what God has called me to do. And that's how I feel. Mm-hmm. I accepted Christ as a child. God ordained my life before the foundation of the world. So it makes sense for me to tap into God's plan rather than spending all of my time dreaming about my plans. God always has a better plan. And when we stand before God, he's only going to ask one question. Did your life accomplish what I created you to do?
Hmm.
That's the bottom line. That is what really matters. And at this juncture in my life, I am totally focused on that, to do the work that God assigned me to do, whether it's in obscurity or on a grand stage, because the goal is to please him.
Amen. I don't remember the fullness of the story, but I remember one of my boys came home from a youth retreat. We're talking about how the speaker gave this story of these two men who faced the Lord, and one felt like he'd failed as a pastor, and he said, I failed. I I tried so hard. And he said, but I didn't want you to be a pastor. I wanted you to be a banker. And I don't remember what happened to the second guy, so it shows you how much of the story I remember. But that little piece had such an impact on my son's life. But we do this sometimes where we spiritualize only calls to ministry. And that way we kind of let ourselves off the hook, so to speak, if we're not in ministry. But we're all in ministry. We're all on mission, right?
Right. Our lives are our ministry. And we are to reflect this relationship with Christ. And I think my life story is a good example of that. I accepted Christ as a child, and I had dreams of being a broadcaster. And I say all the time that if God has placed those dreams in your heart, He will accomplish them, because He says God will fulfill His purposes for you, not your purposes for yourself. But God is committed to walk alongside of us, because He says in Psalm 32:8, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. So if I am aligned with God, I had these dreams, and I grew up in the inner city of Houston. My parents didn't go to college. My father was a barber in the neighborhood. My mother had a beauty shop in the back of the house. There are eight children. I'm the seventh child. But I was told that we served a big God.
Mm.
And I watched God open all the doors. The first door was calling the local Christian radio station. As a junior in high school, my mother and I were in the kitchen one evening, and she said, why don't you call them and see one afternoon if they may have an internship? So I called the local Christian radio station and said, my name is Cheryl Martin. I have an interest and a career in broadcasting, and I was wondering if you had any internships or part-time jobs. And the man on the other end said, no, not unless we think you're gifted. I paused, and he said, are you coming in? I was talking to the general manager of the station. That was a God-divine appointment. I went in for an interview. They taught me how to use the board, and then they created a Saturday afternoon slot from 1 to 4, and I would spin the records, and I did the news at the top of the hour. And I still remember that first newscast. Mother, did you hear me? He became my mentor. He was the one who then said, you should apply to Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois. It has the best program in journalism and broadcasting. I didn't really know about Northwestern. I didn't know anyone who looked like me who had gone to Northwestern. But this was God's design plan. And this is why I say that when a woman focuses not on what she has, not on what she doesn't have, but what she has, and when she taps into the mind of God and is so committed to going the path that God has ordained, He is going to make sure that you get there. He will do the impossible if we do the possible.
Mm, well put. And just for the record, we have as many men listening as women, and that truth is true for them as well.
Yes, it is.
And I'm thinking of you, 40 years old, in your job, feeling like it's too late for me to change careers. I've settled in. I've got a family. It's never too late to start dreaming. And the thing is, Cheryl, that that enemy sees our potential long before we do. He sees our potential, I think, when we're as children. And when you talk about these divine appointments, first of all, that phone call, the open door, that doesn't typically happen. That really was a God moment. But it's not to say that you've not been without obstacles, people speaking, naysayers, you know, speaking things into your life that are tempting to look to the left or right and believe, are these things true? And that always seems to go hand in hand with the call of God. We have to learn how to navigate the naysayers and get past the obstacles the enemy throws in our way. Talk about some of the naysaying moments, the obstacles you faced, and how you navigated those. Because people could look at you and go, okay, she's articulate, she's successful, and this is how it went for her. But it isn't totally how it went for you.
No, and the reason why I wrote the book Distinctly You, because from the very beginning, I struggled, even though I was an achiever on one end. I spent time also looking at my shortcomings, and I agree with you that Satan wants to thwart God's purposes, and so he wants to put blockers there. And so I talk about distinctly you blockers and distinctly you builders. And the first blocker that I recognize is letting others define you. Letting others define you. And what happened, here it is, I get this opportunity as a junior But something happened that totally devastated me, and it took me years to get past it when I was a senior in high school. I chose to attend what was considered the top public high school in Houston, to go from where I was the minority to, I'm sorry, where I was in the majority in a predominantly black school to where I would be in the minority. In my graduating class of 738, there were maybe 13 African Americans. My senior year, and I had been the valedictorian of my junior high. I make it to high school my last year, senior, and I decided to take advanced placement English. I'd only made A's in English. I made one B. I'm in advanced placement English, and my teacher tells me, I'm going to give you a C in English. Basically, you cannot write, and if you don't really work hard, this is going to be your grade throughout the entire year. I was absolutely devastated. Now, there were two other African-American males in the class that she loved, and they were smart. They went, one went to Princeton and one went to Harvard.
Let me ask you, Cheryl, do you feel that that was, I mean, I know it went into your spirit and the enemy used it. Was that a fair assessment of your work, or did you feel like she had it out for you?
I'm not sure. I don't believe it was a fair assessment of my work, and here's why. We don't always know why, and this is one of the things that I share with people. People form opinions. I did not understand, as I do now, the importance of building relationships with people. I was very quiet and an introvert in that class. And think about it. I had not been in these advanced placement classes from the time I was in high school. When I transferred at the school, I was in regular classes and I did well. I put myself in advanced placement because the administrators did not. I have no idea. I just knew that it happened, and it totally dealt with my psyche. All I could think of was this teacher, because you believe what adults tell you. And the reason why I know it wasn't necessarily indicative of my work is when we took the mock the advanced placement class test, I scored better than a lot of my colleagues, but I'd already decided I wasn't going to take it. In other words, her words spoke death to me, and they traumatized me to the extent, now here I was an achiever, had only made A's and one B, and even at this school, I had done well and graduated in the top of my class. But I meditated on her words. How many of our listeners have had an experience that someone says, you're not smart enough? Why are you even thinking of that? You're not pretty enough. Your sister got all the looks. What happened to you? And these particular attitudes have derailed them. And you know what? We don't go around and tell people this. We live with it. We can't get past it. I know a young lady right now who's absolutely gorgeous. Her husband adores her, but she's still rewinding the tape of when she was a little girl that everyone said her younger sister was a smart one. Her younger sister has an issue because everyone told her, your older sister is a pretty one. And they're in a strained relationship all these years later.
And they're probably both beautiful. And both smart.
Yes.
And you think about how those self-voices, for you to be at the top of your class, but to still have that light, that is a picture of how so many of us function, isn't it? It's like, well, the evidence shows that you're an achiever, but the internal lie is the thing that's even holding you back. Imagine what we could do if we could get rid of those lies. And that's what you're talking about. Talking to Cheryl Martin. The title of her book is Distinctly You, Trading Comparison and Competition for Freedom and Fulfillment. You got questions? We want to stand with you today. We'd love to pray with you today. If you need to call anonymously, you sure can. 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH. Do you want to get unstuck? We want to help you get unstuck and kind of uproot those lies so you can walk free in the truth. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. More with Cheryl Martin when we return.
Bring your brokenness.
hope you're having a good day today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. This is what my guest today writes. She says, have you ever heard anyone say my ultimate dream is to be average? I haven't. I don't know anyone who's born with a desire to be mediocre, to accomplish nothing in life. If you're like me, you want to stand out, be special, be the best you can be distinctive. Well, that is also God's desire for you. He does nothing haphazard without purpose. It's all meticulously planned. He determined our looks, personality, heritage, intelligence, and gender. So that means there's something specific he wants you to accomplish as you with your specific blend of abilities. It may take a while to know what that is, to develop that in, develop into that you, to be totally comfortable with your uniqueness. That was my bad. Sorry about that. That's Cheryl Martin. Title of her book is Distinctly You, Trading Comparison and Competition for Freedom and Fulfillment. We've got three copies to get into your hands. Would love to hear from you if you've got a question about how to walk this out, how to deal with the naysayers, the giants, and even the internal condemnation that maybe you're still ringing in your ears something somebody said to you years ago. You're the one repeating it and repeating it. I've been there. I know what that's like, but it totally slows us down. If we can stand and pray with you, we'd love to do that. 877-933-2484 or email me Susie@myfaithradio.com. Love for you to talk, Cheryl, about how this book was first born in your heart. You talked a little bit before the break about getting a sense of God's vision and his dream, seeing these God moments where he opens doors, but also identifying these obstacles that could totally hold you back if you didn't wrestle them to the ground and find what was true in them. Tell me about how this full message was born in your heart.
Well, Distinctly You is part memoir because it includes a lot of my own God stories of me living out through my own experience with God, the triumphs as well as the challenges. And I learned a lot of this the hard way because, again, a lot of times we don't sit there and talk with people about what we're really thinking. I'm very transparent in the book, and there are a lot of things that I've shared. They were conversations with God that I've never talked with anyone else about. Even as a child, how I viewed myself, my insecurities as a child. Why did you give me this particular personality? Why aren't I more of a girly girl? And then I realized when I got into a male-dominated field as a broadcaster in news, when I had to make a lot of decisions and I'm out with a male crew, I felt very comfortable. I have seven brothers. And then I was able to say, you know, God, you knew what you were doing.
Amen. Hmm.
And then when I would look at other anchors and look at their hairstyle or how they delivered the news, and one day the Lord said to me, Cheryl, it's okay for you to admire them, but in your admiration, do not diminish what I've given you.
Wow.
And that your assignment, my assignment for you is to pour out, to bring out of you everything that I've deposited in you. And I have found that if we focus on that, that is a full-time job. When I think about all God has given me, everything that I can work on to be better for the glory of God, I don't have to worry about your race. Why would I attempt to run a race that I'm not equipped to run, which is your race, or aim at your target when it's not mine, or get on the exit ramp and follow you, but it's not my exit. God wants me to continue on the freeway. So we get derailed with all of the comparison and competition and coveting. And it does not allow us to be the women that God distinctly wants us to be, or the men. Mm-hmm. From what I understand, I've had men say to me, Cheryl, men need this book as well.
And they definitely do. And you just need to put a little army boot or something on the front. I'm just kidding. But the truth of the matter is, you know, this is so key for us because when we look, you know, the Bible talks about don't look to the left or the right, you know, fix your eyes straight ahead. I've always thought that that looking to the left or the right has everything to do with comparison and competition, which is sideways energy. And when we were out to dinner years ago with some friends, and the hubby and I were bantering back and forth, trying to come up with a cliche around this, and we came up with fill your space and run your race. And it really is true. When you think about it, if you can get comfortable in to say, you know, this fits me and I'm going to steward this, and even even if I long for a promotion or an expansion of territory, that's God's to give. I'm going to fertilize the ground under my feet. I'm going to be faithful, and I'm going to celebrate your space, because this is the thing, Cheryl, is God's will for me won't contradict his will for you. And he says, pray for more workers. In other words, don't be threatened by the few. And that's just what we do, is we get threatened by each other. But he says, no, the work exceeds the workers. I want you to speak to that, because either we don't dream at all, or we dream and make it so about us that we start to use people to get our deal done. But if we can understand that, wow, Cheryl, your call is going to further the gospel and the kingdom, and so is mine, and your win is actually my win, because we're actually on the same team. I want you to speak to that, if you would.
Well, one of my distinctly you builders is let God define you.
Hmm.
Not others, not yourself, not your own dreams, but let God define you. And when we spend that time in relationship with God, constantly saying, God, what did you have in mind? How have you wired me? What gifts have you given me? What was your purpose in creating me? God alone has the right to define us. Not someone in competition with us, not someone who spoke death words in us, but the God of the universe is the only one. He told Jeremiah before you were born, I knew you and I called you. We get in trouble because we do this list, and this is where the comparison, well, I've got this, 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 I look better, I sing better, so why does she have a record deal and I didn't get one? When we let God define us, and I think a perfect example, and one of the things that I've done to eliminate comparison and competition in my life, I have read and reread and reread John chapter 3. I love this story because John the Baptist, who was a forerunner, who had a specific assignment just like Jesus. And so one day his disciples came to him and said, you know, I'm not sure if you are aware that the person that you baptized, well, everybody's leaving us, leaving you and going to him. And I love John. He said, that's how it's supposed to be.
Mm.
Because I know who I am. He is a greater one. I'm only the usher. He is the bridegroom.
I must decrease. He must increase. Talking to Cheryl Martin today. I see some emails coming in, and I'd love to hear from you. If you want to call in anonymously, we would love to pray for you. I get the feeling Cheryl can pray. I just get the feeling. 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484, or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Back in a moment. Tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Cheryl Martin, who happens to be one of the featured speakers at Set Apart this weekend. You know what? Even if you're listening from way out of town, you still got time, because what is it today? Wednesday? You got time to make the trek. It's a Friday-Saturday conference. I'll be speaking there. Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley will be there. Jenny Allen, going to be fantastic. Sarah Groves leading worship and doing a concert on Friday night. You can go to setapartconference.com for more information. Some women attend one day. Others attend both days. You'll get something new both days. Hope you can join us. We're going to get to these calls, I think, in a moment. I see them coming through. But Cheryl, you were saying before the break, you said when you're tempted towards comparison, jealousy or whatever, you read John chapter 3 in the story of John the Baptist.
Right. I love it. And what I love about it, here was John the Baptist, and he said, I applaud Jesus' success. I'm happy. Why? Because he's doing God's will, and I'm doing God's will, and him having a higher mantle takes nothing from me. But here's the key. John could have decided, I'm going to get out there and work harder. I'm going to be out there and I'm going to double my efforts. And you know what? If he had doubled his efforts, it wouldn't have changed a thing. And that's what we need to understand. There are a lot of people working overtime, trying to be something they are not, because that's not what God called them to do. And you can compare yourself with this other person. I'm going to be on this diet. I'm going to be thinner. I'm going to get more plastic surgery. And you do all these things and you're angry. That is not the path for you. And we think if I work harder, if I get one more degree, and you're still insecure. Our security comes from who I am in Christ. And here's an example I give. We do it all the time. I have girlfriends who are national speakers who have written books. You've written a lot more books than I have, Susie. What if I sat there and said, wow, Susie comes out with a book once a year. My first book came out over 10 years ago. I'm not competing with you. I don't have your bandwidth. I wrote this book when God told me to write it and when he opened the doors. I have girlfriends who are out speaking every weekend. I applaud their success. That's not what God has called me to do. Has God spoken to me? Yes. Do I have something to share? I am very content. If I'm on my phone with a girlfriend ministering to her and they'll say, Cheryl, thank you for this EL moment. That's the nickname for excellent living. Because I minister to them one-on-one, because it's not ministry if I'm on a grand stage this weekend. Ministry is ministry. If God leads me to call one person and encourage them, and I am just as intense with them one-on-one as I am now, I am in the will of God. And I have succeeded. That's when we recognize, God, what are you calling me to do? And I'm okay. If my name is never called, if I don't get that big record deal, if I am not noticed, I want to be noticed by God. I don't want to be famous. I want to be faithful. Amen. I want to be faithful to God's call on my life. My mother is the godliest person I know. She's not famous. She has been my role model. She knows God. She is a prayer warrior. She is faithful to the call of God on her life.
Amen. And I always say that heaven knows who's who in the zoo, so to speak. Do you know what I'm saying? Because we measure success by such a different standard. But heaven sees the faithful, those behind the scenes who are stewarding to every ounce of their calling in the most hidden way. Heaven sees, heaven knows, and heaven rewards. I mean, truly, if we could get past all the competition and comparison, we could get to the business of being faithful and fruitful. We've got an anonymous caller who needs prayer today, checking in from Fargo, North Dakota. Hey, friend, how are you today?
Good.
How can we help you today?
Well, I was just driving to pick up my kids, and I heard the request for prayer, and I guess I would like you to pray for me.
What do you need? What's on your heart?
Well, my husband filed for divorce, and I would rather reconcile than get divorced. We're set for mediation on the 15th of March, and I guess I would just pray God's will for my life that I would get through this. And like I said, if my husband could reconcile, that would be my choice, but I do want God's will for my life.
God bless you, dear friend. And just want to say to the other anonymous who's checking in from Minneapolis, we're going to get you. I pray that you can hang on because we want to stand with both of you. Cheryl, did you want to talk to this dear girl?
I'll be happy to, because I've actually had that same experience. I've had the experience of being in a marriage and did not want divorce. And I prayed and prayed and prayed, and God, I know so many examples of God restoring, and that's what I was trusting God to do. But God has also given us a free will. And what I would say to you is, while it may have caught you by surprise, it did not catch God by surprise, and it was the most painful experience I've ever gone through in my life. And I felt like my heart would never stop hurting. But if Christ is your anchor, during that most dark season of my life, I experienced the presence of God with me through all the pain, through all the tears. And so what we're going to do is pray that God would soften your husband's heart so he would have a desire for reconciliation. There is nothing too hard for God, but at the same time, relinquish to God and say, Lord, I will accept whatever your will is. God got me through that deep period of despair. This was not the script I wanted in my life. I couldn't believe it was happening to me. But that verse became real to me when he said, I will be with you through the water. I will be with you through the fire. And I am a living testimony that whatever we commit to God, he will be there with us and provide healing.
Go ahead and pray, Cheryl, if you would.
Lord, I thank you that you are indeed the God of all of our circumstances, and you are concerned about everything that concerns us. Lord, I pray that you would give this woman an incredible sense of your presence, and that you love her in the midst of this storm, and that you are there with her in the midst of this storm. I pray that you would prove yourself mighty in her life. I pray that you would touch her husband wherever he is. Lord, that you would soften his heart towards his wife. You are a miracle worker. We know that divorce is not your first choice, and you said, because of the hardness of men's hearts. Lord, I pray that you would give her exactly the proper response. Help her to recognize that she can only control herself. I pray that you will bring other believers around her who will love her and be with her during this most difficult season. May she cling to you and never let go and keep her eyes on you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Dear girl, we're going to get you a copy of Cheryl's book, so make sure you give Grace your address, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to be praying for you in the days ahead. Real quick, before we take the anonymous caller in Minneapolis, Matt, I just want to address this caller said, I'm currently separated from my wife. She's wrestled with many insecurities. I'm wondering, should we work through reconciliation? I'm concerned that if we get back together, her insecurities will drain me and pull me down. What advice does Cheryl have? I just feel an urgency to say to you, yes, 1,000 times yes. Be a safe place for your wife to heal. Nothing is better than a man who's a man's man, who can be grounded in God, be strong in him, be much with him, so that you can create a safe space for her to heal. I pray, man of God, you will rise up and be the man that she needs you to be. Insecurity is not grounds for divorce. It just absolutely isn't. I feel strongly about that because my husband married a wounded, broken bird. And he created a safe space for me to heal. And I'm his helpmate. And I am a great support to him. And I feel like it's been worth it on both sides. Cheryl, did you want to say a word about that before I
totally agree with what you said. You stood before God and made a covenant. And you said, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, and richer and poorer. And all of us are flawed. All of us are broken. There is no one perfect. And when you say, God, I stood before you and said that there was no other woman for me, then God will give you the grace and strength to be there for your wife and to encourage her and build her up. A relationship, a marriage should be a safe place where we can be totally transparent
and be
with
a
each
work
other.
In progress.
We all have issues.
Mm-hmm.
We all. I don't know anyone who's perfect. And God will give you the grace and strength to love her unconditionally and to love her as she is, not as you want her to be.
Amen.
Aren't we glad that God didn't wait for us to get it together?
Indeed. Okay, anonymous friend checking in from Minneapolis. Thanks for holding. How can we stand with you today?
Hi. I just have to say I thank you for your strength and for being so in tune with what he is wanting, you know, just to provide so much support to people in need.
Mm.
I I grew up in, I would say, unfortunate circumstances, and I tend to have a strong Achilles heel of never feeling like I have anything to contribute, no matter how much I succeed. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. Sometimes I just kind of hang out in that pool of confusion and doubt. So I guess just calling for some strength and clarity, and that there is a place for me to really exercise my fullest potential, and what it is that you would find joy in witnessing the gifts that I've been given.
There are things that only you can do that he's wired you for. And sure, I just want to say we get to take our last break here in a few minutes. So if we could, if you want to say a few words to her, but go right into prayer, then we'll take the break. And friend, we're going to find a copy for you. We share the same publisher, so we know people. One way or another, we're going to get you a copy of Cheryl's book.
I'm not sure if you were listening when I mentioned before that it is very important in order to be the woman, the distinct woman that God has called you to be, to let God define you. And so you have a choice as to what you choose to meditate on. And it's important for you to define yourself the way that God defines you. And God defines you as a woman of worth. Psalm 139, I would encourage you to read that over and over and over. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me, Lord, so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. Why don't you say that about yourself? God, your workmanship of me is marvelous. You saw me before I was born, and every day was recorded in your book. There is a purpose for me, and as I align myself with you, as I allow you to love me, and I block out every negative thought about me and what I bring to the table, you determined that I was to be born, and I have something to bring to the table. And I am going to bring it in your strength. Filling your mind daily, meditating on the Word of God, not other people's words, but what God says about himself and about you. Lord, I thank you for my sister who's struggling in this area of what she brings. I pray that from this day forward, she would choose to meditate on your word, the life-giving power of your word and how you define her. I pray that she will memorize scripture. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have plans for you, plans for good and not for evil. And any time these negative thoughts come up, she will immediately replace them with what your word says, because your word gives life.
Dear sister, thank you for calling. And I pray that you will stand on that truth until it feels true. We're going to get you a copy of Cheryl's book. Make sure you give Grace your address. God bless you, dear one. I'm excited for what God has ahead for you. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Cheryl Martin. Again, she'll be a featured speaker at Set Apart Conference this weekend. Hey, why don't you just, whatever your plans are this weekend, go ahead and change them. Come on, come to the conference. We're going to have a great time together. More with Cheryl Martin when we return. You're having a great day today. You know, I say that a lot, but I really mean it. I really hope you're having a great day. Glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Got Cheryl Martin in studio today. Just a powerful speaker. In fact, Cheryl, I know you're in studio because you're in town for the Set Apart Conference, but I want you to come back. I know that'll have to be by phone, but please come back and join us again.
I would love to.
I could listen to you talk like all day long. I mean, I just love what you have to say. I love the heart of God in you. Title of her book is Distinctly You, Trading Comparison and Competition for Freedom and Fulfillment. This book is written directed towards women, but as I think one pastor told her, this is a message for men as well. And I think you're listening today as a man. In fact, I got an email from one of our listeners, who his name is Bruce, and he said, this has been speaking to my heart. Mm-hmm. So love that so much. He says, growing up, my parents told me I couldn't go to college despite my straight-A report cards. I spent my whole life doing manual labor. After my parents passed away, I finally found the courage to take a college course at the age of 50, and I loved it. Mm. And he says, attention, parents, encourage your children. Words have impact.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing? Well, you say that when we perpetually focus on what's wrong with us, we actually diminish what's right about us. Talk about that.
And I think that's indicative of the last caller, who mm-hmm. was so focused on what's wrong that we lose sight of what's right.
Amen.
And what we are to do is focus on what's right. What's good about my situation? And I think a perfect example of that is Ruth in the Bible. She could have chosen, and see, all of these are choices. She had lost her man. It wasn't divorce, but it was death. She didn't dream of being a young widow. But what she had was a strong faith in God, and she said, I am not letting go of God. She could have chosen to be in a pity party all of her life. Not only that, she was in a race that was despised, considered inferior. She didn't focus on that. She decided, I am going to be a blessing to my mother-in-law, and I'm going to have this great faith in God, because there's nothing impossible with God. So when we have a big view of God, which is one of my distinctly you builders, the same God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Ruth, Esther is our God today. He can handle anything. He can open amazing doors. He opened amazing doors in my career. So when we have this attitude, this is the God that we serve. And this God is going to guide me down that path of distinction. And my job is to do the best with what I've been given. So what did Ruth do? She got busy. She got busy serving. She got busy being kind to her mother-in-law. And what was her path of distinction? On what appeared to be an ordinary day, she said, I need to go get a job to take care of us, to go to a field. I'm going to find one where I may find favor. And God directed her to the field of wealthy Boaz. God always has a bigger and better plan. But she could have chosen to stay stuck. You cannot move forward and distinctly be the person that God has called you to be, rewinding the tape of all the naysayers. What you don't have, this pity party. You have the God of the universe, and he said, if I am for you, I am more than the whole world against you. He wants you to be that distinct person that he created you to be. Ruth is a part of the lineage of David, the son of God. All because she had a big view of God, and she refused to have a pity party about circumstances she could not control.
So you see Ruth's name in the lineage of Christ, and what's so amazing about that is here she's a Moabite. She makes this dangerous trek across the wilderness to get back to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem. The house of bread is what it was known, because the bread was in the land again, that she would follow her mother-in-law there. You know, one thing that's so interesting about that story and so many others, when we walk with God and we trust him, we're being led by him when we don't even realize we're being led
exactly.
by him. So Boaz is the kinsman redeemer of this family. Again, you look at Boaz, he's a descendant of Rahab the prostitute. I'm trying to imagine, Cheryl, Ruth coming in town and all the pure Jews looking down their nose at her, at this Moabite widow, washed up, so to speak, saying, what is she doing here among our people? But God is no respecter of persons. He's a respecter of faith. And by moving on her faith, God opens up her story, puts her in the lineage of Christ. I want to we just have a few minutes here before we pray, but I say this on the show often enough because it's what gets me up in the morning, is there are Christians who are going to live and die who are saved but not free. They stayed stuck. And the ripple effect is in the kingdom story. It's not only did you not fulfill your call and you missed out on the best of the adventure, but the people who are intended to be blessed by your story, are untouched by you that speak to the ripple effect if we stay stuck in our own pity party.
It impacts us as well as the kingdom of God. And as you were talking, I thought about the parable of the talents. One was given five, two, one. The master simply said to them, you know, maximize. This is what I'm giving you. They didn't decide what they were going to get. The master determined the amount. The first two immediately went out and worked with what they had. When the master returned, they got the exact same commendation. He didn't look at the guy with two talents and say, why didn't you do as much as this guy? He couldn't. He was given two. God is not going to look at me and say, why didn't you do what Susie did? You didn't give me what you gave Susie. But each person went out and said, what God has given me, I'm going to maximize it. But the person who got one, I think he was mad because he only got one. What can I do with one? And so he had a bag of excuses. And he did nothing. The master was angry with him. I'm unfair? You did nothing. You could have at least done something. I don't want to get to heaven and have God say that. And so what we're saying to those who are listening this afternoon, use what God has given you. He knows what you can handle. If he's given you two talents, max them. If you are a teacher in a rural community with 10 students, give them your best.
Amen.
If you are a struggling actress in community theater, be the best actress you can be. If God gave you Broadway, be the best you can be. He will not measure you in community theater with the person because he's the one who gives us the opportunities. He's the one.
He's the one. This has been fantastic. The time has just flown by. Cheryl, would you pray for that person listening who is just now coming alive and realizing, okay, I need to throw my bag of excuses in the ditch and get up and get going. Would you pray for that person?
Lord, we thank you that you created each one of us differently. Every snowflake is different. Each one of us is different. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters who have had this inner battle for years, not able to communicate with anyone but you, feeling less than, not pretty enough, not smart enough, dealing with a disability. Lord, I pray that this conversation has caused them to see that what is most important is how you define them, and that you have great plans for them. Lord, I pray that from this day forward, they will stop saying why and start saying yes. Yes, Lord, I accept your will for my life. I realize that you don't make mistakes. That person walked away from the marriage. That person said they were going to marry me and they didn't. I didn't get the job I wanted. Help them to see you in all things, and that you came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And if you want more where that came from, you got to come to the Set Apart Conference. That's Cheryl Martin, titled her book, Distinctly You, Trading Comparison and Competition for Freedom and Fulfillment. I can't wait for that conference. I really pray we get to see you there. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's show on our website at myfaithradio.com. And we will meet you back here next time.